But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with how 10 Democrats betrayed America. Move on to the financial misadventures of President Musk. And follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries. It's about free speech, stupid. Let's begin, shall we? Welcome to the shit show, ladies and gentlemen. And when I say shit show, I mean the capitulation of Senate Minority Leader Schmuck Schumer and the 9 other soon-to-be primary Democrats who just gave the Republicans everything they ever wanted, even though hundreds of thousands of people were telling them not to. From so many calls, their lines got jammed to overflowing inboxes with emails to their colleagues in the House and Senate calling a vote yes on what is clearly not a continuing resolution, a big fucking mistake.
This is all on the Republicans. They didn't let us have anything to do with the bill they put together in the House. The Senate Republicans are just accepting the House version because the House adjourned on Tuesday night and went home. Oh, we can't do anything about it. Because the House went home. We can't do anything about it. You're the United States Senate, for God's sake.
A shutdown will be terrible. But our job is to put the onus on the Republican president, the Republican House, the Republican Senate, the people who control the government. They are responsible. They've acted in an undemocratic, unprecedented, unilateral way. They've given us an offer, take it or leave it. That ain't the way democracy works.
This continuing resolution codifies much of this chaos that Elon Musk is wreaking havoc on the federal government. It codifies many of those changes. It sacrifices and completely eliminates congressional authority in order to review these impulsive Trump tariffs that he's switching on and off. And on top of that, for folks who are concerned about effectiveness in government, this Republican extreme spending bill removes all of the guardrails and all of the accountability measures to ensure that money is being spent in the way that Congress has directed for it to be spent. This turns the federal government into a slush fund for Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
And to the 10 disappointments who helped make the passage of this CR that's not really a CR, I'd like to say fuck off. On behalf of myself and everyone who's going to be negatively affected by their decision to comply with tyranny. Something everyone knows you never do. Especially a guy who's descended of victims of the Holocaust to bend the knee, handing unchecked power to a would-be dictator and his regime for the sake of getting along when everyone else has read the room. Recognizing that it is time to stand up, say no, and whatever else Sharon Carter said to Steve Rogers during a funeral, which is probably the most inappropriate time to have a pep talk, roll tape.
And she said, compromise where you can, but where you can't, don't. It is your duty to plant yourself like a tree, look them in the eye and say no. You move.
But here we are. Thanks to Traitor Schumer and his 9 despicables, the government may not shut down in the literal sense, but it will be thinned out to the point that Stephen King might sue for copyright infringement.
Your daughter ran out between 2 parked cars. I couldn't see her.
Why wasn't you watching, white man from town? Why wasn't you watching? You'll never see us.
Even with your glasses, white Schumer from town, and the 9 shouldn't be in government pick-me's that followed you off a cliff, you can't see the people who have been fired and will continue to be fired thanks to you. You can't see the federal departments that are being gutted into uselessness and the American people who are being harmed just to say that you didn't shut down the government. And by the way, if the AFG union, the largest union for federal workers who just won their members back their jobs in court, tells you that voting for the CR that isn't really a CR is detrimental to federal workers, perhaps you should listen to them. And not the little prick inside your head crying over yours and your donors' stocks tanking in record-breaking speed thanks to Orange Ludicrous's obsession with tariffs. A problem that will continue thanks to your vote to give the Trump regime unfettered power. Or as Rachel Maddow explained it.
Republicans are facing this political situation now, right, where the U.S. economy looks like it's being destroyed for fun by Donald Trump because someone once told this guy a thing he didn't understand about tariffs. He declared an economic emergency that gives him the power to unilaterally declare these tariffs. Congress also gets the power to call the emergency off. So Congress could just vote and declare this so-called emergency to be over. Democrats in Congress planned to make Congress vote on that exact thing. Republicans would be forced to either go along with the tariffs anyway, because Trump is doing them, or they'd cast their vote to stop Trump from doing these tariffs. They have to start the process of voting on it within 15 days. And so what did they decide to do with that power? They decided to give that power away so they no longer have that power, so they don't have to decide what to do with it. Republican leaders slipped language into a procedural measure. They proclaimed that between now and the end of this Congress, that is just one long day. That's just one day. Quote, each day for the remainder of the 119th Congress shall not constitute a calendar day for the purposes of this emergency declaration, so that 15 days will never elapse and they will never have to vote.
Now, that's scientific bullshit in order to give Crimes the Clown the ability to tariff our country into financial ruin may have been brought to you by the cuck party of the Trump regime, but it passed into existence thanks to Elder Schmuck and his nine morons. Please do not forget when it comes time to put these 10 overdue books back on the shelf and send new senators to Congress. And while we wait with bated breath for the midterms, welcome to the Trump session, a nightmarish hellscape where even the cost of gaslighting is up by whatever percent tariff Dementia 47 came up with during his 3 a.m. bathroom post-a-thon, 200% on American liquor for the EU, 25, 50, 100% tariffs on Canada for not being the 51st state of the United States. And what with the District of Columbia not being anywhere near Columbia, so it should be renamed the District of America, daylight savings killing grandmas an hour earlier, and Tesla inventing a light bulb like a regular Isaac Neutron. I mean, the whole thing is going to shit in what can only be described as the worst 55 days ever, unless you ask a Republican or their dear leader.
Look, we're going to have a disruption, but we're okay with that. Is that what you meant? The stock market going down was the disruption? What other disruption were you alluding to?
Look, what I have to do is build a strong country. You can't really watch the stock market.
We're transitioning from Bidenomics.
And it's a cleanup job that we're watching right now.
We launched a drug war, not a trade war. And it was part of a negotiation to get Canada and Mexico to stop shipping fentanyl across our borders.
Canada has been taken over by Mexican cartels.
Let me stay on the economy for a moment, because there are rising worries about a slowdown. You've got the Atlanta Federal Reserve saying we're going to have a contraction in the first quarter. Look, I know that you inherited a mess, and you said that the other night.
I've only been here,
but
for a while.
Are you expecting a recession this year?
I hate to predict things like that. There is a period of transition, because what we're doing is very big. We're bringing wealth back to America. That's a big thing. And there are always periods of, it takes a little time. It takes a little time. But I think it should be great for us. I mean, I think it should be great.
Oh, yeah, it should be great for your billionaire buddies and corporate donors, that us you were talking about. For the rest of us, though, we're seeing prices increase on top of the greedflation we've already been paying since the COVID lockdown. The stock market is tanking for days on end, which eventually turns into mass layoffs and store closures so CEOs can retain their insultingly big salaries. And then there's the brainworm running Health and Human Services and Sean the Neck Hannity having a Shake Shack commercial for Fox Not a News Channel to discuss the most asinine shit ever.
It used to be when you and I were kids, everybody got measles. And measles gave you lifetime protection against measles infection. They were protected by breast milk and by maternal immunity. And women who get vaccinated do not provide that level of maternal immunity that the natural measles infection did. So you're now seeing measles hit very, very young kids and hitting older people. There are adverse events from the vaccine. It does cause deaths every year. It causes all the illnesses that measles itself causes, encephalitis and blindness, et cetera. 10% of food stamps, which are federally funded, taxpayer-funded program, is going to the poorest neighborhoods, and they're the ones with the worst chronic disease burden. And we are literally poisoning those neighborhoods by paying for 10% of the food stamps going to sugary drinks.
And that lecture on health and good eating habits was brought to you by a man who sounds like he's fighting for his life every time he speaks, who thinks decapitating a whale and driving home with the head strapped to the top of the car is quality family time, and hides a bear carcass in Central Park for a midnight snack. Clearly, the brainworm has more control over Robbie than the Trump administration gives a shit, and that should fucking scare you. Especially when culture war Karens like Rep. Keith Self, whose last name says it all, and from the biggest embarrassment known as Texas, purposefully misgendered a duly elected member of the House for fun, not once, but twice, during a meeting of the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee. Thankfully, William Keating of Massachusetts was sitting right next to the bigot and said this in defense of human decency.
I now recognize the representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ranking Member Keating, also wonderful.
Mr. Chairman, could you repeat your introduction again, please?
Yes, we have set the standard on the floor of the House, and I'm simply...
What is that standard, Mr. Chairman? Would you repeat what you just said when you introduced a duly elected representative from the United States of America, please?
I will. The representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Mr. Chairman, you are out of order. Mr. Chairman, have you no decency? I've come to know you a little bit, but this is not decent.
We will continue this.
You will not continue it with me unless you introduce a duly elected representative the right way.
This hearing is adjourned.
Wow. So instead of being a decent human being, Keith decides to channel his inner Cartman because that abrupt end was giving.
Screw you guys. I'm going home. But Cartman, we're trying to... screw you guys.
These impotent white assholes will literally end a subcommittee meeting rather than show their colleague the same decorum they tantrumed over Dems not giving Eric's dad during the State of the Regime ramble about a week ago, because for them, it's all about getting so worked up over Representative Sarah McBride living rent-free in their heads that they lash out in sophomoronic ways. But really, can you blame them when the Fanta-fascist sharpies an executive declaration of white supremacy like this without thinking it all the way through?
Fox News is confirming that President Trump is set to sign a historic executive order. Now, Trump's order will declare English as the national language of the United States.
Uh-oh. That's going to be a problem for someone.
Did you just see Maduro, Venezuela? It's unbelievable. That Saudi Arabia and Russia will repeat you. Also, we have many Azerasians in our room. Ding, 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 ding. Okay. Missile launch. Ping, boom.
We just sent another sock rocket. You saw that, right?
Really big beneficiaries.
Made a pivotal, really, an ICE officers. Removed 10,000 known or suspected gang members. Police officers. And you saw that. All of those incredible police officers. The diversity lottery program. Look, wait. Their whole state to be a sanctuary for criminal, illegal immigrants. Our army manned the airport. It ran the ramparts. It took over the airports and the combat infantry men. They sacrifice every day for the furniture and future of their children.
Oh, you gotta hand it to Genghis Khan. He's got the best words. A dementia-ridden, Adderall-snorting, 10-piece bucket-devouring, fix-it-ent-wearing, son of a Nazi sympathizer could possibly have. Considering also that he's known as the stupidest student to ever attend the Wharton School of Business by professors who had to put up with the draft-dodging Nepo crybaby. And speaking of rich bitches who sob in the Oval Office while hopped up on Special K because Zig Heils apparently have consequences, L. Ron Mustard is experiencing what the Guinness Book of World Records describes as, quote, the greatest loss of a personal fortune in history.
You giving up your other stuff? I mean, how are you running your other businesses?
With great difficulty.
But there's no turning back, you're saying.
Clearly, Elon Musk has had a rough few days. Tesla dealerships have become the target of protests across the country, and its stock price has taken a big nosedive. Twitter also had a bad day with massive outages that Musk blamed on a cyber attack that originated from Ukraine.
We're not sure exactly what happened, but there was a massive cyber attack to try to bring down the X system with IP addresses originating in the Ukraine area.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure.
And then Trump stepped in, took to True Social writing, the radical left lunatics, as they often do, are trying to illegally and collusively boycott Tesla, one of the world's great automakers, and Elon's baby in order to attack and do harm to Elon and everything he stands for. I'm going to buy a brand new Tesla tomorrow morning as a show of confidence and support for Elon Musk.
So Trump has this private Tesla viewing at the White House, and then he comes out with notes as though he is a car salesman. In the Sharpie, which is how you know it's real, Teslas can be purchased as low as $299 a month or $35K. All cars have self-driving, just needs to be turned on.
You buying a Tesla will boost Tesla sales and boost their stock?
It does. They want to penalize them in an economic sense, and I just think that's very unfair. So I just wanted to make a statement. I'm going to buy one.
Some of the violence that's been going on around the country at dealerships. Some say they should be labeled domestic terrorists.
I will do that. I'll do it. I'm going to stop them.
So if you're going to touch a Tesla, go to a dealership, do anything, you better watch out because we're coming after you.
Wow.
And
well,
if you're funding this, we're coming after you. We're going to find out who you are.
Oh, you heard her. Watch out, Tesla protesters, because box color blonde Bondi is on the case. She's going to get all you pretties out there expressing your First Amendment right to stand on a public sidewalk with signs saying Tesla is powered by small dick energy and swastika cars suck, and spend every day until you die not buying a swastika truck. Because it's overtly giving the creation of the Volkswagen in Germany circa 1938 so badly that celebrities and elected officials are publicly selling their Teslas because they're bad for their image. And as far as Elon Muskrat losing nearly half his net worth because he doesn't actually have $330 billion sitting in a bank somewhere like you and I have money in our checking and savings account, rather his net worth is based on speculative monies. Like the value of his corporate shares in Tesla or Space Explode or the disaster formerly known as Twitter, which fluctuate based on sales, government contracts, and ad revenue. Hence why Phony Stark had the White House front lawn turned into Donnie's discount auto mall for the low, low bribe of $100 million.
Reporting came out from the New York Times saying that Musk is putting $100 million directly into Trump's political operation. In other words, Trump spends the entire day turning the White House into an infomercial for the richest guy in the world, and in turn, the richest guy in the world hands Donald Trump $100 million to do with what he pleases.
Because the tiny-handed grifter is not going to grift for free, folks. And not to mention, when the dumbest group of 77.2 million people give you a second chance to become the biggest embarrassment of our government, this is exactly what you would do. help a billionaire stay a billionaire. Because who else is going to have their lawyers draft SB 21 in Delaware to rewrite the state's corporate law? Because allegedly, companies are leaving the state over franchise fees. See, in Delaware, companies who are not headquartered in the state can incorporate for a franchise fee of $250,000 instead of paying income tax, which ranked in, for the state, $1.3 billion just last year. And to be clear, we're talking about 8 companies that have currently left Delaware, while the state has seen an increase in companies incorporating by 275,000. Quite a big replacement for the 8 companies that left the state. And another reason why the CyberCucks lawyers drafting SB 21 look sketch as fuck. Oh, and let's not forget that this is all about Mantra Musk getting his huggies all in a bunch because a Delaware judge ruled he can't buy $53 billion in Tesla stock at $23 a share because it hurts shareholders' value and it only serves to enrich the South African dipshit at the expense of his company. To which Muskrat Sally replied,
I'm fine. Totally fine. I don't know why it's coming out all loud and squeaky, because really, I'm fine.
But he was not, in fact, fine. Because the dark muskrat interfering in state governments doesn't end with Delaware. He's dumped millions into influencing a race to see who gets on the Wisconsin Supreme Court because the ketamine cowboy just sued the state of Wisconsin over their ban of car makers owning a dealership. And Elmo Schmuck wants to make sure he's got a friendly if that lawsuit ever ends up in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Oh, and let's not forget about the biggest election interference felon Musk committed since last November. It's so unbelievable. Orange Felonious just can't stop talking about it.
It was so sad because I said, can you imagine I'm not going to be president? And that's too bad. And what happened is they rigged the election and I became president. So that was a good thing. That was a good thing. That was quite an achievement.
Quite an achievement, I'd say, considering the Senate Democrats just voted to let the Trump regime shit all over our government, just like the J6ers did to the walls of the Capitol a couple of years back. And for those of you in the back, Payless Putin has been publicly boasting about this special government twat rigging the 2024 election for a while now.
Thank you to Elon. And he knows those computers better than anybody, those vote-counting computers.
You know, it's only because they rigged the election that I'll be your president.
Isn't that nice? And all thanks to the states that use Starlink to move vote tabulations from one place to another, which gave Muskrat Felon the ability to see how many votes came through for Shitler and Kamala Harris. Because I don't know for a fact that the petulant pimple had a bit of control over how many votes got through the Starlink connection. I just know that somehow he knew who won the 2024 election way before anyone else did. Isn't that right, Joe Roigen?
Beginning of the night, no one knew what was going to happen. So you're watching the first results roll in.
And then every channel's kind of different.
I was getting a different number off my Apple News update than I was getting off of CNN. And then I was texting people like Tulsi and J.D. Vance. I was getting a different update. Apparently, Elon created an app and he knew who won 4 hours before the results. 4 hours before they called it, Dana White told me Elon was like, I'm leaving. It's over. Donald won. He had like the most accurate data. But Dana said he had an app and he was like showing them.
Because when you control the internet link vote tabulators use to move vote counts from one place to another, you can sneak a peek at the results, create an app that keeps tabs on it, you know, interfere in a presidential election to make sure your $290 million investment doesn't lose. which is every fucking reason why we need to keep rejecting his brands. Keep his speculative net worth dropping until Apartheid Clyde is just another broke-ass bitch.
Oh, that's terrible.
You seem kind of psyched.
No, I'm bummed.
And now let's talk about one of the reasons why Chuckle Schumer and the Nine Disappointments really pissed off their constituents when they cowered to the Republicans over a CR that wasn't a CR.
A judge has blocked the deportation of a pro-Palestinian activist arrested by ICE over the weekend, at least for now.
Mahmoud Khalil is now in federal custody.
Attorneys representing Mahmoud Khalil have filed a motion as well to transfer him back to New York after he was sent to an ICE processing center in Louisiana.
The Department of Homeland Security says Khalil led activities aligned to Hamas, a designated terrorist organization.
DHS confirmed his detention was in connection to his work leading pro-Palestinian protests at Columbia University.
Any resident alien who commits a crime is eligible for deportation.
DHS would not comment on what, if any, charges Khalil is facing.
The government has not provided evidence that Khalil was in any way cooperating, working with Hamas.
Mahmoud Khalil's attorney saying in a statement that he was wrongfully arrested by immigration agents, claiming his student visa was revoked, even though Mahmoud is a legal permanent resident and not in the U.S. on a student visa.
ICE was informed that Khalil is a permanent resident with a green card, but detained him anyway.
His lawyer adding he was detained on Saturday in front of his wife, a U.S. citizen who is 8 months pregnant.
Let me make this crystal clear. The U.S. government disappeared a man who has every lawful right to be here for exercising his First Amendment rights. Mahmoud Khalil has a green card, not a student visa, which affords him the protections of free speech, and that did not stop the Trump regime's mumbled-mouthed border czar from sending his frosty SS soldiers to kidnap Khalil because he said something mine incompetent did not like. Because as far as Homan the fat bastard is concerned...
Can you deport a legal immigrant?
Absolutely we can. I mean, did he violate the terms of his visa? Did he violate the terms of his residency here? You know, committing crimes, attacking Israeli students, locking down buildings, destroying property. Absolutely. Any resident alien who commits a crime is eligible for deportation.
Except Khalil has not been charged with a crime. Let me repeat that. The U.S. government has not charged Khalil with any crime, and yet he is being held in an ICE detention center, unable to speak with his attorney or his wife, who is a U.S. citizen. And to the racist jackasses that claim without evidence that Khalil was in any way associated with Hamas, you're parroting some of the most racist shit I have ever heard, and that is saying a lot. First of all, Khalil was standing up for the Palestinian people, his people, who are the victims of an ongoing genocide perpetrated by the Israeli government, most recently since October of 2023. The Palestinian people are not a terrorist organization called Hamas, no matter how many times the morons working for tons of oranges say it. All Khalil has done is organize protests on the campus of Columbia to bring attention to the systematic elimination of his people by Israel with the support of the U.S. government. Although with hindsight, that exercising of free speech on Columbia's campus may be why he was arrested in the first place, but not for the reason you think.
According to the Associated Press, Khalil was under investigation by a new committee at Columbia that addresses cases of alleged discrimination. Khalil telling the AP the allegations against him are mostly social media posts that I had nothing to do with. Khalil recently finished a master's at Columbia.
Helped lead pro-Palestinian protest at Columbia last year.
This reported arrest coming on the heels of the Trump administration canceling about $400 million in federal grants to Columbia University.
The arrest comes as President Trump vows to defund universities that allow what he calls illegal protests.
And the president took to his social media platform to discuss the arrest. He said, quote, "This is the first arrest of many to come. We will find, apprehend, and deport these terrorist sympathizers from our country, never to return again.
Earlier last week, the president writing agitators will be imprisoned or permanently sent back to the country from which they came.
Their own colleagues within the university calling out on student protesters, especially those who are foreign-born, in tweets, creating lists and potentially sharing these lists with the government.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio later adding that they'll be, quote, revoking the visas and or green cards of Hamas supporters in America so they can be deported.
And there he goes. Little Marco rebranding pro-Palestinian protesters as Hamas for supporting the Palestinian people. The talking point they hope will rile up their racist base and perhaps, maybe the rest of us, unfortunately for them. Making this about anti-Semitism blew up in their faces when hundreds of Jewish people took to the lobby of Trump Tower and were later arrested for showing solidarity with Khalil and demanding his release. So take that, Marco, whose parents did not become U.S. citizens until after you were born. Apparently, Jewish people don't need you to revoke the green card of a man who is defending his people, using the rights afforded to him to make them feel safe. Because Jewish people understand that the U.S. government is doing now what Nazi Germany did to their families 70 years ago. Or as Khalil's attorney explained it.
Well, Colombia has been fairly complicit with ICE in permitting the targeting of their very own students. He was approached on campus, but outside of his apartment, based on a false assumption that he was here only on a visa and that they would revoke his visa. But of course, he has a green card and is lawfully present and cannot be detained without process, and certainly cannot be detained or removed in retaliation for constitutionally protected speech. Standing up to demand that the world pay attention to an ongoing genocide of the Palestinian people.
And besides his participation in the protests, is there any other reason that's been presented for him being arrested?
They've invoked this immigration theory allows, with due process, the removal of someone based on a certification of the Secretary of State that they're compromising national security interests, basically meant to remove spies, not individuals engaged in human rights activism.
That's right, kiddies. Secretary of State Marco, no, you didn't, knows the U.S. government does not have anything on Khalil. So they're using a law designed to prevent spies from infiltrating the U.S. by deporting him. Because under the law, spineless anchor baby Marco can revoke this man's green card and have him deported. That's it. And here's why everyone living in the United States, especially U.S. citizens, should give more than a shit about what's happening to Mahmoud Khalil.
This is essentially the kind of strongman move that you've seen in other places where democracy has literally crumbled.
It is incredibly troubling that we're seeing the erosion of due process as quickly as we are.
Universities are often places where critique, dissent is fomented. You shut down the universities. You make it harder for them to operate. This retaliatory effort against Columbia University is emblematic of that. You drive a wedge between the university populations, between the administration and the students. You shut down dissent in that way. You shut down dissents from law firms who might now be unwilling to uphold the rule of law by taking on clients who may be unpopular with this administration. You also then turn and begin critiquing, as this administration has already done, the courts, so that if there is an unfavorable ruling for this administration, then the courts themselves are now sites of delegitimization.
This is a white supremacist agenda that we're seeing play out in real time here in this country. And everyone should be concerned across the U.S. about what this means for them, because if they can snatch up and disappear a permanent resident in this country, that means that they can also do that to U.S. citizens.
That is why Jewish people overtook the lobby at Trump Tower in New York. That is why American citizens have been marching in the streets demanding Khalil be returned to his family immediately. Because if they'll disappear Khalil for exercising his protected First Amendment right to speak out against a genocide than they'll do it to another green card holder from New Hampshire. Oh, wait, they already did. Fabian Schmidt was detained by ICE at Logan Airport in Massachusetts, taken to a facility in Rhode Island where he was strip searched, violently interrogated, and thrown in a cold shower, according to his mother. All because, according to ICE, Fabian's green card was flagged in their system, which is absolute bullshit, because Fabian had just renewed his green card months before, prior to this kidnapping. Oh, and just for shits and giggles, Fabian Schmidt is a nice-looking white dude with blonde hair and perhaps blue eyes. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show, This Week Again, on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook. And we're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadir for now.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.